I think it actually is true that things are easier this year, but that's really grading on a curve. Last year, the issue was that they didn't agree on the top line number and they didn't agree on the details. Now we're to a place where they've agreed on a top line number, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to agree on the details. So I think part of the way to think about this is that we have returned to normal dysfunction as opposed to extreme dysfunction. And there is a difference, but I don't think that difference is going to lead to appropriation bills being passed and signed into law before the beginning of the fiscal year. I mean, you know, the big difference is that last year agencies didn't really know how much money they were going to get, and they didn't know when they were going to get it. Now I think they probably have a better idea how much they're going to end up with, but they still don't know when they're going to get it.
And with a continuing resolution, one of the reasons why they have historically been, you know, damaging and disruptive is because they hold agency funding steady when
right.
normally you'd expect a small increase, you know.
Right.
But last year, agencies didn't see an increase with sequestration, so holding steady this year could actually be, you know, nice.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think that part of the issue here is, again, if they don't know how much they're going to end up with, then I think what happened last year was the agencies were extremely conservative. And, you know, for example, not filling positions, not signing contracts, doing things like that, because they didn't really know whether they were going to end up with the money or not. I think the research that I did a couple of years ago on the effect of continuing resolutions suggested that agencies had pretty well settled into a pattern where if there was a continuing resolution and that continuing resolution didn't last longer than 3 months, that was sort of considered normal. So agencies know how to deal with that. The problem tends to be when you have longer continuing resolutions or when you have not, say, 1, 2, or 3 month continuing resolution, but a series of continuing resolutions that last a week or 2 weeks or something like that. That really creates a lot more problems. And I don't mean to suggest by any of this that it wouldn't be better if we had appropriations that were passed and signed into law before the beginning of the fiscal year. I'm just saying that I don't think that this year is a repeat of last year, but I also don't think that this expectation that suddenly we were going to have rampant agreement on everything because Patty Murray and Paul Ryan had agreed on the top line number, that clearly is not true either.
I don't know how closely you're following kind of the nitty-gritty in terms of the 12 annual bills. Is the disagreement mostly just in that very specific who's getting how much here, who's getting
right.
how much there, or is there a larger big picture disagreement right. that's holding up the process?
Well, I was taking a look at this today, and you know, both the House and the Senate have their 302B allocations, which is where they make the allocations by appropriations subcommittee. And there aren't huge differences between the House and the Senate, which, by the way, there were last year. There was not only a difference on the top line, but as you would expect, there were big differences in the individual subcommittees. This year, you know, there are some subcommittees, for example, Labor, HHS, and education has about $1 billion more in the Senate than it does in the House, and defense has about $1 billion more in the House than it does in the Senate. But an awful lot of the appropriation bills, at least in terms of the total amount, are pretty close to each other. Now, that doesn't mean that they agree on the individual details within those appropriation bills, but it doesn't look to me like once they get around to it, this is a gulf that's that hard to overcome in terms of the overall bottom line numbers. Now, the thing that you always have to keep in mind is that the appropriations process has a history of being derailed by things that don't have anything to do with appropriations, and or at least don't have much to do with appropriations. I mean, you remember last year it was the whole question of whether they were going to defund Obamacare or not, which was really not about, or at least not much about, the total amount of money that was appropriated. That was about a political disagreement. This year there are some things sort of percolating out there, like the reauthorization of the Export-Import Bank, which some conservatives seem to oppose, even though it's been around for 80 years. And you have, you know, the fact that the Highway Trust Fund is about the reauthorization, or the authorization of the Highway Trust Fund, I think, expires as of the end of September. So there are always things like that that can sort of derail the appropriations process. And in a bigger sense, or in a larger sense, I think that because there's this expectation that the Republicans might take over the Senate in the 2016 elections, I think, or 2014 elections, rather, I'm sorry, there, I think that there's sort of limited incentive for Republicans to go along and pass appropriation bills right now as opposed to doing a continuing resolution and maybe feeling like they're going to have a stronger hand after the first of the year when presumably they might control both the House and the Senate.
And if a continuing resolution is what happens, which seems kind of likely, what Congress is doing now, is this all just by passing these bills and debating and trying to come up with these things, is it just all this exercise in futility if at the end of the day they're going to pass this larger CR?
I would hesitate to say it's completely an act of futility. I mean, certainly there's some of it is political theater, which is not unexpected. But I think the other piece of this is that once they get around to finally passing the appropriation bills, it's not like they're going to go back at that point and start from scratch. I mean, they're going to look at wherever the process was when they last left it. So the fact that the House has already passed a number of appropriation bills, I think that will still become the starting point for the final appropriation bills when they work it out between the House and the Senate. So I wouldn't call it futility, because I don't think it's going to be completely wasted effort. But if the goal is to get appropriation bills done before the beginning of the fiscal year, clearly that's not where we're headed. And I think a lot of that is just because, you know, I mean, you know, we keep harping over and over again about partisanship, but that's because it's real. And because I think where there was a time when it was viewed as being the only responsible thing to kind of roll up your sleeves and reach agreement on important things like funding the government, I think now people play the appropriations process because of the larger political points that they think that they can score. And we become so used to this government by continuing resolution that we're almost sort of immune to its effects. I don't think we're immune to the effects of a government shutdown, and I don't think there's going to be a government shutdown, because I think the Republicans relearned a lesson that they shouldn't have had to relearn, because after the shutdowns of 95 and 96, nothing good happened politically for the Republicans, but there were many people who weren't around then, and so they had to sort of relearn this lesson. I can't imagine that they want to go down that road again, that is a government shutdown directly before a midterm election.